mix of music. 98.4 Capital FM.
Righto, on your best mix of music, 98.4, Capital FM, good evening, how you doing? It's 27 minutes to 7 o'clock, how you doing? Where you listening from? It's a little tired of this happens every Thursday with me, Charles Gary, and Wakili Mutuku, who actually has been, he's stuck somewhere because of the rains. But thankfully, he had called me early on and actually said, Charlie, I will be late, but the show must continue. Yes, the show must continue. And of course, every Thursday, we have a guest who comes in and talks about various issues concerning the legal fraternities as much as possible, not doing legalese, but just breaking it down to the watches for how we say it here in Capital FM. I'd use those words advisedly. And yes, this conversation actually continued on 0710719849 for hashtag quick one, Wakili, hashtag the legal insider. Now, in studio with me, breaking out of protocol, we've just been having jamaz, is a lady, and she's from FIDA. Her name is Christine Kongo. You are the FIDA chairperson. Welcome to Capital FM.
Thank you very much.
Come closer to the mic. Karibu sana.
Asante sana.
Now, we want to talk about FIDA. When Mutua told me about FIDA, I was like, hey, okay, I've heard so much about FIDA, but I don't know so much about them. But here, yo, I just wrote my own notes earlier on, Christine.
Uh-huh.
And FIDA, involved in the promotion, protection, and preservation of women and children, civil, political, economic, social, and cultural rights, which you will explain.
Mm-hmm.
How do they do this? It's by creating and raising legal awareness, by advocacy, lobbying through conferencing, workshops, networking with NGOs and government agencies. That is a long list. But thankfully, you're here to actually break it down for us. Karibu sana to Capital FM, Christine Kongo.
Asante, asante.
But before we get into the nitty-gritties, as in what does FIDA do, because I understand I was sent some questions, which you actually, as you say in theater, you put on the cold towel to read them overnight so you don't get some sleep. So basically, you're ahead of me. I'm not. I got mine an hour ago.
Yeah.
But that's okay. But who is Christine Kongo? Uh-huh. Tell us about who you are, please. And
thank
Karibu
you.
Sana.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here. It's my first time, Capital FM.
Oh, here at Two Rivers? Had you been before at the...
I've been at the Two Rivers, but I've not been at the Capital FM studio. So
okay, welcome.
I'm honored and I'm happy.
Most welcome.
Christine Kongo is an advocate of the High Court of Kenya with 18 years post-admission.
Wow.
She may look young, but she's not that young.
Wow. 18 years.
18 years. Admitted to the bar of 13th of October 2005. I have basically done, I normally say I've done what it takes to get where I am. I started off by practicing law.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to, after 5 years, I went to work for FIDA.
Okay.
At their secretariat offices as a program officer.
Okay.
Between 2010 and 2015, I did my master's. Mm-hmm. And then I realized it's time to move on to bigger things and more technical things. So I went... I joined government at the Kenya School of Law.
Okay.
As a lecturer in 2015, January.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're also a lecturer.
So I'm also a lecturer.
Okay.
And it's not by coincidence that your colleague was my student a few years ago.
Who is this?
Your colleague.
Mutua?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, Mutua, I hope you're not listening. I hope you're not listening.
And he was a very good student, one of my best students.
Yeah,
a student.
It figures, even when he comes here at Capital FM.
So I've been there for 9 years. This is my ninth year. So what I've been doing basically is, if I'm not at the Kenya School of Law lecturing, I pursue my passion for women rights.
Okay.
And that is how I ended up in the FIDA board in 2018. I was elected to be part of the board, and I have then grown from being a general FIDA board member to board secretary to vice chair until a month ago exactly when I was elected to be the chairperson of the FIDA board.
Wow.
So that has been my journey, really.
That has been an amazing journey for you. That's great, but let's talk about your formative years.
Yes.
You don't have to get into the nitty-gritties because... Yeah. People now know it's Christine. There's a lady on the show, and of course many people have started listening to this show because of the things that we talk about that many other stations actually don't do.
Yes.
As a lady, you know, And of course, the young ones are listening right now. Let's talk about your formative years.
Yes.
I mean, did you come from a family of lawyers, or you are one of those special people who are into books and reading and wanting to understand the rights and roles of a woman in society? Mm-hmm. I mean, what was your, what's your view on that one?
My view is I do have a sibling who is an advocate.
Okay.
So my brother Robert Kungu, shout out to him where he is.
Shout out to you, Kungu.
He works for the office of the AG.
That's high up there.
We are a large family. We are seven siblings.
Wow.
And we're only two girls, our firstborn and myself. I'm actually the midborn. I'm the fourthborn. So three before me, three after me. So I think for me, I you know, there's a story about kids who are mid. You struggle to be hard, yeah?
I'm one of them.
You understand,
yes.
Yeah? So I feel I really used to want to be hard a lot of times because attention is paid to the younger ones, attention is paid to the older ones.
Yeah.
So for me, my voice, I felt my voice had to come out strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in my years of late teenage, I felt like I was voiceless, but I had a voice.
Correct.
So with that, I started kind of wanting to have a voice out there to fight for my rights.
Okay.
And that's how I think by the time I was done with secondary, I felt I wanted to be a wakili.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. It had nothing really to do with my older brother being a wakili.
Yes.
I just felt like there's something more I can do. I can fight for society.
Mm-hmm.
And as I finished high school, I think I realized that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself there. Thank God I had parents who listened.
Oh,
you know, there
fantastic.
Are parents who listen and there are parents who...
They will tell you where you go. Why?
Yeah.
We, akuna pesa.
Hey, enda ufanye computers.
Computer science.
Hey.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So my parents were listening and they said, sawa, kama wata kufanya law, wata taku support.
Oh, so
And I ended up at the University of Nairobi in 2000 and finished in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how my journey of being a wakili started.
Wow.
So I felt, I think the family support and just expressing to your parents what you want to do.
Right.
I wasn't one of those kids who was told, you know, there are only three professions that are important. Daktari, wakili, nasijui gani.
Yeah.
Myself, I felt I wanted to be an advocate.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
So it is not accidental that I'm an advocate. I really wanted to be an advocate.
Wow.
Yes.
That is so cool.
But all I didn't know what I wanted to do with it, but I knew I wanted to be an advocate.
All right, and congratulations being the chairperson at such an early age. I mean, well done. That's what this show is all about.
I think I'm the youngest chair so far.
So far?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But don't ask my
age. No. Yeah. I was told by Wakili when we started this show. Actually, it was Nick Ndead. I think you know him also, Wakili.
Yes.
He told me there are certain questions you don't ask. I told him there are certain questions I cannot answer because we trained in radio not to ask.
Very true.
Or reveal certain things about the other person or yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my training. Mm-hmm. However, let's get into it. All right?
Yes.
FIDA. What is FIDA?
Wow.
Tell us about the genesis of FIDA in this country. Because in my formative years, I won't go into how many years ago, probably 70 AD. but I started hearing about FIDA in the 1990s, but not so much, but about women coming up. You know, they want to fight for the rights of their own, the children and their rights and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But what is FIDA? What's the genesis of FIDA in this country?
Mm-hmm.
How did it come about?
I think let me begin from the, many people don't understand what these initials are for. So maybe allow me to start from there.
That is
then
exactly.
Now I take you through the
thank
journey.
Thank you very much. Yes.
So FIDA, F-I-D-A in capital, just like capital FM.
Clever.
Is actually an acronym for the Spanish name of how FIDA came into being to this country. So the acronym is a Spanish word and I want to just bring out the Spanish, the very small Spanish that I know.
My notebook is open.
Please. So this is what it means. Mm-hmm. Federación Internacional. So Federación Internacional de Abogadas.
Dia.
Federación Internacional de Abogadas.
Oh.
Which translating means International Federation of Women Lawyers. Yes.
Okay.
So by virtue of that, International Federation of Women Lawyers, we have FIDA in other countries, but we also have FIDA Kenya. So then for FIDA Kenya, we call it FIDA FIDA in capital hyphen Kenya.
Yes.
Because there's FIDA Uganda, there's FIDA Nigeria.
Correct.
There's FIDA, where else do we have FIDA? We have FIDA in various African countries. Mm-hmm. But you say where the original came from. It came from the aspect of a few women sat down and said, as women lawyers, how can we contribute to society, particularly mm-hmm. to fight for women rights?
Mm-hmm.
So there is a bigger International Federation of Women Lawyers, but for us, it's FIDA Kenya.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So then FIDA mm-hmm. Is then in Kenya, we call it the Federation of Women Lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
We are made up of women lawyers who practice in this country.
Okay.
It is a membership organization. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, for us, for you to understand how we operate, we are an NGO.
It is an NGO.
It's an NGO.
Okay.
It's not government. Many people think FIDA ni serikali.
Can I tell you the truth, Catherine? Yeah. I thought FIDA is serikali.
FIDA sio serikali. FIDA is an NGO. We are actually, we don't have any
association or affiliation
with the Kenya government.
Yeah.
We are independent. Mm-hmm. We are actually a non-profit organization, an NGO. We are non-partisan. We don't align ourselves to any political party.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we are a membership organization made up of women who practice law in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, I think we have almost 2,000 members.
Okay.
And they consist of women lawyers mm-hmm. and women law students
uh-huh.
who practice in Kenya.
Uh-huh. Who practice
yeah.
in Kenya.
Yes.
Yes.
So we don't have members who practice outside Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
It is confined to women practicing law in Kenya.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So we are like the Law Society of Kenya.
Correct.
The only difference is that we are not, we are a voluntary membership.
Mm-hmm.
Law Society of Kenya, all the wakilis in Kenya are members of Law Society. By
yes.
virtue of being lawyers
yes.
you have to.
Uh-huh.
And you have to get a practicing certificate.
Mm-hmm.
But for FIDA,
mm-hmm.
It is not compulsory, it's voluntary.
Oh, it's okay.
It's voluntary. So yeah. then what you do is you pay a subscription monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you join FIDA.
Mm-hmm.
So not every women lawyer in Kenya is a
FIDA
member. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So with that, I think you can understand where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
As we speak today, April, we have 39 years.
That is a long time, Kathy.
39 years.
That is a long time.
And that's why we call
time.
Ourselves the premier women rights organization.
Okay.
Yeah. We are a 39-year-old girl. You know,
I like
yeah,
that.
And I
like
think we've really carved a niche in this country.
Yes,
many NGOs have come after FIDA.
Yes,
but I think none can be compared to FIDA, and I've really no apologies in terms of saying that.
You should actually. That's very, very, very good. Learned so much about that one.
Yes,
for the first time, I'm learning about FIDA after all these years. Another question that actually comes to mind is. What does FIDA actually handle, apart
okay.
from the fact that you said, and I actually mentioned it, the rights of women and
mm-hmm.
children, but
mm-hmm.
the what do they actually handle?
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
Because I know it's, when we say we defend...
Okay, the rights of women and children. Okay,
yeah.
What are those rights
yeah.
for women and children?
Yeah. It stands out as very ambiguous when we say we defend
yeah.
women rights,
yeah.
and perhaps that's where the problem comes in,
mm.
when people expect that we do... Every single thing that happens to a woman, they expect FIDA to do. But let me just break down what we do.
Well done.
In terms of, we have a constitution,
mm-hmm.
and we have a mission and vision and a strategic plan.
Whoa.
Yes. We are that
level of
organization.
Position.
So we are, as you said, we are lawyers. We have a secretariat.
Mm-hmm.
We are based in... not far from me, actually, a bit far. We are based on Gitanga Road.
uh-huh.
We are based on Gitanga Road,
yeah.
just towards Kawangware.
Okay.
That is our main branch.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have two other offices in Kisumu and Mombasa.
Okay.
Now, in terms of what we do, we handle litigation matters
mm-hmm.
or cases.
Mm-hmm.
We started off as a family law-oriented organization
mm-hmm.
whereby we felt our clients,
mm-hmm.
who are women,
mm-hmm.
Who are not able to afford lawyers, would come to us and would then assist them. So the family law matters that we actually handle are, number one, what we call child custody and maintenance. And many people
Whoa.
Know FIDA. Many people know FIDA because of that. Like, well, if you don't do your part as a father, FIDA inakuja.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think 90% of Kenyans wanajua FIDA from that perspective that unajua ukipelekwa FIDA boss.
Yes. It's a done deal.
It's a done deal.
Yeah.
Take care of your responsibilities as a father.
Oh.
Usiache FIDA ikuje. And indeed, we pride ourselves because we've helped many, many, many mothers out here who have been abandoned by their partners or husbands. And yet, the law is very clear. I mean, once you're a father, you're a father. You have to discharge your parental responsibilities. And even the Constitution says you don't have to be married. As long as someone can prove that you are the biological father of a child, then the court can give orders.
Yeah.
But anyway, so apart from child custody and maintenance matters, we also deal with what we call succession and inheritance. Those are matters whereby someone has passed on.
Someone has passed on. Yeah.
And there is a dispute between maybe a widow and the parents-in-law, the widow, the children versus the parents-in-law, or really just how does a lady inherit the property of their deceased husband. So that's what we call succession. In law, we normally call it succession and inheritance because it's not automatic that today you bury your husband, then the bank will release money to you. There are processes and there are procedures.
Yes.
So that's what we deal with, succession and inheritance, in terms of helping a woman who has lost a husband. How do they get money? In terms of, by virtue of being the late, the deceased husband.
Correct.
The sixth wife. So we call them succession.
Succession,
and inheritance.
Let me talk about that one just a wee bit as we continue because I can see. Yeah. Yes, we still have time, okay, Wakili.
Yeah.
Through FIDA, because I've heard it through the Wakilis who've come here.
Yeah.
And they say this is what happens, this is what has to happen.
Yeah.
And later on, we talk to them off mic. They say, no, we have read about it.
Yeah.
We know about it. We have knowledge about it. But I've never really gotten to somebody who actually has first-hand knowledge like you, Kathy.
Yeah.
There's so much that's happening in the newspapers right now.
Yeah.
The other day to somebody in Mombasa, there's something that's happening, I think, in Meru, this thing about succession.
Yeah.
And then somebody walks in and says, he was also my husband, and these are his children.
Yeah.
What happens inside there? I mean, how do you handle all that?
The thing is,
because it's so muddy.
It's muddy.
How do you clear
it's
that water?
Muddy.
Yeah.
So the thing is, when someone passes on and they don't leave a will, that's where the problems begin. Because
but I've heard also that sometimes you can leave a will and still people come from the and say, look, that will we
and
don't
they dispute it.
And they dispute it. Yes.
So this court that we call family court is very busy because of this kind of disputes.
Mm-hmm.
I think ordinarily, as human beings, when someone passes on, there are the people who are really bereaved. And then the next level is there are people who are now looking at it in terms of, okay, ujama meenda, how do we get his property? And really that is where the dispute begins now. For example, you realize sometimes in our African customs,
that's what
you have been married, the moment you bury your husband, your in-laws now start fighting you because of the money that the deceased has left.
Yes.
So then, it then happens that you cannot agree who will get what, and also because the in-laws might at that particular point say, "Ata wewe ukukua bibi yake, wewe ulikuwa tu the girlfriend."
Oh my goodness.
So then, such a woman is left at a point whereby she has to get legal assistance. So those ladies normally come to us as FIDA, particularly if they can't afford a lawyer, because this has been your husband. You've probably built the matrimonial property with him, and then all of a sudden you're being fought, and you're being fought, and also your children are there. So you see what happens if the deceased did not leave a will. It becomes a bit complicated because now you have to go to the High Court. The High Court is the one that has the power to help you in terms of such situations. Number one, you have to produce evidence that you are the wife. That's the other challenge. If you are not married in church, or at the ages, proving to be a wife sometimes is a bit hard. So that if you're a customary wife, then it becomes a bit of a situation. Mm. Can you prove? Number two, the law says that it's not only you as a wife who has the right to inherit the property. All the dependents must get something. Who are the dependents? Apart from you as a widow, your children. And for purposes of this kind of situation, your children, the children of the deceased also means any child that he has had outside there. That is now the complexity. That's why they say the law can be complicated.
Yes.
So any child that the deceased has had before, in between, it doesn't have to be the ones he got during marriage. So any person who can prove that this was my father can inherit property. So then the thing is,
so do you have to go through sometimes DNA tests?
Exactly.
Like take like forever.
Exactly.
And so oh my goodness.
So apart from the dependents being the widow and the children, the parents of the deceased also have to get something. the siblings.
The parents.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you see, all these people have to be given something. So the court has to give the direction of who gets more. Most likely it will be the widow and her children. But the parents also have to be given something. So if it's a family that is totally divided, they will end up in court for years and years and years and years. But if it's a family that can come together and say, oh, ulikuwa bibi ya mtoto wetu, tunataka uchukue hii, maybe hata 60% na watoto wako, hii 40% sisi utuachie kama wazazi, then things are better. So it all depends.
Which is not always the case.
In fact, it's most likely it's never the case. It's never the case. Yeah. So that's why they say leaving a will is important. You know, the people in this country who've passed on, who we can call prominent, quote unquote, yeah, and have left a will.
Yes.
They have done a good service for their family.
Correct.
Because you say, this is my wife, niamwachia hii. These are my kids, niamwachia 1, 2, 3. These are my parents. So then it becomes easy when they pass on. The lawyer comes and reads the will. And then the succession now happens in terms of the court will follow the will. Mm. But when you don't leave a will, and I know many Kenyans are uncomfortable with writing a will. In fact, many people say, by the time you're doing your will, means you're actually bringing your death closer.
Yes.
You've heard that.
Yes.
So Kenyans are completely scared. But look at what happened over the weekend, mm-hmm, with the general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, correct.
He had left a will.
A will, yes.
He made it so easy for the family for to know how they're going to bury him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure in that will he has left the issue of the properties he has.
Completely.
Who will have what, who will have what.
Yes.
So it's a very simple thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll not have any noise from that family moving forward.
Never.
So that's the thing. I think Kenyans need to be told the practicality of leaving a will, especially, and let me just reflect on that, especially if you know you have more than one wife. There's going to be a dispute, obviously. And just make sure that your things are left in order. Bibi wa kwanza atapata nini, bibi wa pili atapata nini, because definitely there'll be a dispute. So, and if you're a prominent person,
yeah,
just leave a will.
Please.
Just make sure that when you die peacefully, vitu zako ziko sawa.
So basically, Wakili, what you're saying is, okay, leave a will for the first wife and the second wife,
yeah,
and that one ulu meficha uko, because she might appear, and they put a provision there, just in case so-and-so appears, make sure they get something.
By the way, if you actually
because if
that,
you don't do that,
yeah,
I don't know, it just becomes very ugly.
Yeah, me, I think as a responsible man, even if you have two wives and kuna mwingine umeficha, just have the decency hata huo mwingine umeficha, muachie kitu na mtoto wake.
In the will.
A responsible man should do that. Hakuna haja kuficha.
So we've had cases of that also.
Yeah, we've had cases of that.
My goodness. Yeah. Okay, that's the second one that you handle. Which is the other one that you handle?
So the other one we do is also what we call divorce and separation.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so that's the other one people fear that.
When do you sleep? When do you get time to sleep? When do you go back and say, God, just give me peace of mind. Can I sleep now?
Hey, it's a lot of
things
work
that you go through.
Yeah, FIDA has a lot of work, but we have a dedicated staff.
Fantastic.
That absolutely do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we do that, and we also do something that is also quite extensive called division of matrimonial property.
Deserve that.
Yeah, that is where now when a couple has split, how do they divide property that they bought together? And it's really quite heavy in court because you cannot agree eye to eye. Pengine mulikuwa mmenunua building mahali hapo na umeachana, who takes it? You'd bought a set of flats somewhere. Who takes it? Because no divorce, already you can't see eye to eye. So there's no way you're going to agree who takes what. So we call it division of matrimonial property. So it's one of those technical aspects of divorce, whereby apart from agreeing that we are separating, how does the court contribute or rather direct that this one takes this one takes that one. So that's another reason why people stay in court for long, long, many, many years.
So basically divorce is expensive.
It is, especially if there's property.
Property involved.
Yeah. And the issue of children, when you can't agree, nani atenda na huyu, nani atabaki na huyu. So those are the aspects and perhaps the consequences of divorce. It affects the children. If you had property, the court has to rule who is going with what. And the other aspect is there's an aspect of if you are a housewife,
mm-hmm,
how do you prove that you contributed to that property? So the technicalities of the law are so extensive when it comes to that. So apart from that, the other matters we deal with are employment, employment issues, and labor issues, and land. Land, because land is a unique aspect, and many women also are victims of, you know, wananyanganywa.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds. I mean, I know how many right now, top of mind, who are also my friends, who they know they have land somewhere in Buruburu, some they have land, whatever, but they cannot step on that land.
Exactly.
They were told, Zalianda, so take a hike,
Kind of
walk in here.
Exactly.
So out of fear,
and
you probably don't have enough funds to come to Fida and look for Christine. So they just stay away.
And then the sad part I've realized, you know, we've had this new constitution for the last, from 2010 to 14 years. There's still this thing about Kenyans saying that as a girl child, or the fact that you are not male, you have no right to inherit your father's property. So when your father passes on and perhaps your mother is not there, the boy child will not allow you to inherit the property of their father, because they say, so you are meant to go marry somewhere else. You have no right to kupata chochote ya baba yetu. So those things are really happening in Kenya, and we have to speak about them. The constitution says every child has the right to inherit their parents' property.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only the male child who can, but what is happening is actually complete.
Wow.
Because they say, well, unafa uolewe, you have no stake, you know, getting anything from our father. When the uolewe, pali ubenda kuolewa, is when you can get property. But here, the property will remain for us as the male.
That is cruel.
The male children.
That is very cruel.
Yeah, and it's happening a lot.
This is your sister.
Yeah.
She's not yet married.
Yeah.
She's waiting for the right time to come, because maybe she's studying.
Yes.
Then the old man, God,
Yeah.
And then you turn right around and tell your sister, hey, and
imagine.
You're not getting any of
this. You're not getting anything here.
That happens. Uku
sio kwenyu. Kwenyu ni uko pali utaolewa. It's happening, and it's even happening among people who are learned. So it's not, I'm not talking about people who are in the village. People who are learned. Yeah, because it's actually one of those patriarchal things that a woman should not inherit their father's property. She should focus on her husband's property and invest there, or, you know, settle there. But that is discrimination. So those are things we deal with in terms of fighting for women rights, in terms of land rights. Because let's say she's already there and she had kids. Maybe, you know, things sometimes don't work out. You have kids, nakosana, you go back to your house, and maybe your parent passes on. Where are you supposed to live with these children? Because you're being chased away by your brothers, go back to your husband's house, you know, and yet your dad had given you a piece of land. So those things do happen, and it's important to speak about it, because it's very wrong and it's discriminating. Every child has the right to inherit property from their parents, male, female. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
You know, hearing it from you actually does make a difference, because I've just been having male advocates here, and they're, of course, they're giving their own, quite similar, but not as emotive as how you bring it on. And I like that aspect. I'm thankful that you're here, so we can discuss about this one from your own experience, where you've seen things actually go wrong. And right now, I know that people who are listening, and they're like, I'm in this situation. What am I supposed to do? So I think let's continue with this conversation as we take this short break, because we need to get to the news.
Okay.
Yeah, in studio with me is Catherine Kongo. She's a wakili. Christine. Sorry, it's Christine. My apologies for that. Christine Kongo. And she's a FIDA chairperson. She's here to give a different perspective of what we've been talking about for the last couple of months with the boys. And this is different. I needed that emotive aspect coming from a lady who's actually had first-hand experience in what happens to our sisters and our children. This conversation continues right now, 0701984984. Hashtag quick one, wakili. Hashtag it's the legal insider. We're back, 7 minutes, actually 8 minutes past 7 o'clock, right here on your best mix of music, 90.4 Capital FM. Good evening. How you doing? It's the Legal Insider. Remember, this happens every Thursday at 6:30 to 7:30, where we do as much as possible not to do legalese, but just to be legal about matters in a way that you and I can understand, because I'm also in the same position. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a media practitioner and radio presenter. And of course, in studio, Mutua Mutuku is not with us, my wakili, because he got marooned somewhere in Mombasa. I understand Mombasa is really crazy. The rains there are really wreaking havoc. But in studio, we have the chairperson from FIDA. Her name is Christine Kongo, and we've been talking about FIDA. And if I can pronounce that again, what FIDA means, Fédération Internationale de Aboga something, something.
Yeah, yeah. Diabogados.
Diabogados.
Yes.
Diabo. All right, let me write that one.
Yeah.
Di.
Abogados. Abogados.
Abogados. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
International. Fédération Internationale de Abogados.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why French? I mean, Spanish. Why yeah. Spanish?
Well,
why not French or Belgium or ama Kiswahili? Indonesian,
yeah.
I'm just asking.
I've always thought about that, but I guess that's where it came from. As I said, it came from women lawyers who decided that, Sissy, our objective is to do matters to help women, and they were Spanish.
Sweet.
Yeah, and you see, I can see it then developed, it then came to Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So from Spanish, the world, the Spanish to Africa, mm-hmm. where we had FIDA Nigeria, FIDA Uganda, FIDA Kenya.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. The questions are still coming through, and this one is interesting.
Yeah.
What criteria does FIDA follow in taking up a matter?
Okay, that's a good question.
Do people come to you or?
Yeah. I think.
In fact, one of the questions I wanted to ask as you answer this one, taking their divorce case.
Yes.
This guy goes and gets a lawyer.
Yeah.
And the lady goes and gets a lawyer.
Yeah.
And you say most probably, well, a lot of them come to FIDA.
Yeah.
Especially from the lady's side.
Uh-huh.
Because they know the aspect of, especially the kids,
mm-hmm.
and the emotional aspect of it, mm-hmm. especially when it comes to things like land and mm-hmm. all that. How do you go about it, mm-hmm. by the way? Do you liaise with this other lawyer, or mm-hmm. you just do your own thing, you do mm-hmm. your own homework,
mm-hmm.
and then you stand up and say, listen, mm-hmm. we are Madhulumia, mm-hmm. This is the direction mm-hmm. we're going to go.
Criteria? So we do both. Huh? What do I mean by both? We appreciate that there are some personal cases that we have to wait for someone to come to us as our client, just like any other lawyer would do.
Mm-hmm.
You wait for the client to come to you mm-hmm. to get your professional services. Then there's the other aspect of whereby it is a matter that is getting out of hand and it affects women, mm-hmm. what we call a public interest matter. We don't have to wait for the client. We go out there and initiate what we can do. So let me give you two examples.
Please.
So the first one, where it's personal, like a matter like that one for divorce.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if a couple is going through something, then they realize that at this point they need to do an official divorce. One party or both parties will look for lawyers. So let's assume it's the lady who has come to FIDA. She will now be our client, but we have to do a criteria in terms of, we don't just take any case. We normally take cases of women we consider are indigent or women we feel are not able to afford lawyers because we feel we don't want just to take a case for the sake of taking a case. Mm-hmm. We are there to do to serve women who are unable to afford legal services.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first criteria.
Mm-hmm.
So then once we are able to establish that indeed you are not able to get a lawyer, we'll then help you. We give you a lawyer based in any of our branches. We are able to open a file for you. You pay a very minimal amount of 500. And then we are able to see if it's a divorce, is it ready for court? Or is it something that we can also be able to do what we call mediation? So we have the new aspect we are following.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there may be need for you to not to be in a hurry to go to court. So that's the part where we engage the other guy, the partner. So for example, assume that I have a client who has come to my office today as a FIDA lawyer. If I feel like whatever the issues are, it's not a matter of ending the marriage, I may call upon the partner to come to FIDA to do what we call mediation. What is mediation? When you sit as a third party
mm-hmm.
and reconcile these two people. So that's something.
Try to.
Yeah, that's something the public does not know that we do as FIDA. In fact, people think we are very divorce oriented, but we are not.
Oh, because of the cases.
Yeah, we actually have the sense that if it's something you can still help, why not? Because sometimes couples go through issues, but they just need someone independent to tell them, yes, this is what you're complaining, but it's something you can resolve, especially about children. So that's the mediation essence. So we would then have someone call the husband or boyfriend, can you come to FIDA offices? At this particular day, we can sit down for 1 hour and discuss your issues. And it's really working. And that is the new face of FIDA. And as a chair, that is what I want for people to realize that we are family oriented.
Yeah.
we appreciate that things can go wrong in a family setup. But if you call two people and give them the opportunity to vent, and as a third party, you guide them towards solution, that's the way to go. And for me, that is my approach. And when you compare the feeder of now and the feeder of 20 years ago, that is the difference. We are not in a hurry to just go to court to get a divorce order. We want to see the sense of, can we bring these people together? Can we allow them to get a solution in terms of mediation? Because sometimes that's what you need. So then...
So in its purest form,
yeah,
that is a feeder, what it's supposed to do.
And that is really...
So call you guys, come together, let's resolve it quietly. No, right. Oh, Mpendani, boom, let's go to court. Let's
exactly. Yeah.
So that, oh, my God.
Yeah, and that is a new trajectory.
So good.
That's a new trajectory that my board and my staff are taking in terms of, let us look beyond just going to court. Is this something that we can be able to resolve? Because sometimes it just takes the mind of an independent person to see the problem is these guys are not talking to each other. Just allow them to talk to each other. Give them a room to vent. Within 2 hours, they are back together.
Oh, that's
you see
so
the thing?
Good. Yeah,
yeah. But you have to be trained as a mediator for you to be able to understand these issues. Not anyone can do that. So that's
that
the sense.
Within the confines of FIDA, when you join, you have to go through all those courses of mediation.
Exactly. All our staff are trained on mediation.
Very good, very good.
We have a new board, which I want majority of them to be trained, because you have to appreciate this new sense of family disputes, that not everything has to be resolved by court. So that's the first category of saying, if it's an individual case, you have to come to us, because there's no way I'll know that Charles, your brother and your sister-in-law are going through something. They have to come to me.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
Yeah. The other one, what I was calling public interest, things happen in the country, and as an organization, we realize we have to be involved, like femicide, for example.
I was coming to that one later. I don't know. Okay, but keep going. I've got that question about femicide.
So you remember between November last year and January?
Oh, man.
It was crazy.
I was just reading one story right now, but just before you came in, they're still trying to resolve the lady who actually was the university student.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are they taking so long?
I also don't know. Yeah. So that one, we realized that things, by the time we started the new year, things were getting out of hand. Almost every week there was a case, if not every day. So then in January we realized this is not something we can wait for a client to come to us or the family of a victim. So we had to reach out to the families for us to be able to, number one, show the government that you're sleeping on your job. Because the constitution says the government has a right to protect citizens. These girls, many people said a lot of things, they are socialites, but no one has the right to take the life of anyone when you are dating or what. So then those are some of the cases that we go out there to initiate. We can't allow, we can't wait for someone to come to us because it's public interest. So that's what the second option is. Here, we don't wait for the client. We reach out to the families of the client so that we are able to see how can we help us feed. So those are the criteria that we use. So the first one is we wait for you because it's a personal case and you have to approach us. The other one is we see it's a matter that we as a women rights organization have to go out there, so then we reach out to the family. So those are the two criteria we use in terms of how we go about helping women in dire need of legal services. Yes.
Okay, there's this one here which I didn't understand why this young man says whether FIDA have a working mechanism with the women reps in Kenya. I didn't quite understand that question.
I think maybe to see if we also deal with women in leadership, sort
women
of.
Women in leadership, yeah.
Yeah. We actually do, and we have a program. You know, FIDA is really growing. And we realize, apart from the cases I told you that we handle, we have to get deeper into women issues. And one of the issues affecting Kenya right now is women in leadership. We have to be able to equip our women with skills in terms of leadership. So we do have a proper program whereby we engage with women. For example, we are partnering with an organ called KEWOPA. KEWOPA is Kenya Women Parliamentary Association, which is an association that covers or is the umbrella of all women, elected women leaders, MPs, women reps. So they are kind of under KEWOPA. So what we do, we've been partnering with KEWOPA whereby we train women leaders. For example, after 2022 elections.
FIDA actually does.
FIDA, yeah. We partnered, we took them somewhere where.
So it's been happening.
Yeah, we actually trained them on how to talk, How to debate.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Yeah, how to debate in parliament.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
So that we don't just have the male reps, the male MPs debating, and then the women leaders are quiet.
Quiet, yeah.
Yeah, why were you elected? Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. We don't want to have flower girls. So we train them on how to debate.
Yeah.
We train them on how to make
feeder.
Yes. We train them on how to be relevant in the 5 years. Because 5 years goes so fast. So that people can see what you're doing.
Yeah.
We build their capacity, we work with them, and we are able to assess that this ones need help in this area, these ones are okay. So that is a program where we are doing, and we are funded by our donors.
Okay.
Yeah. So that we work with women leaders. And so it's true. We do work with women leaders a lot.
I wish we have an organization that does that to some of our male, because you know, sometimes, I mean, being in media, sometimes they talk and you go like, my goodness, who trained these guys?
I know, I know.
Because as we go through our training here at Capital FM, in fact, media houses do that a lot.
Yeah.
And you go like, why is he talking like that?
Exactly.
Why is he using those words? Because you're like, it's very sensitive, but thank you. If Fida is coming up and talking to the ladies and showing them the right direction to go.
Yeah.
But has that been effective as we speak right now? Because it's a new thing, I want to understand that.
It's a new thing, not very new. We started probably, it's been 5-4 years.
Oh, it's okay. It's been
but
long.
The last election, I can tell you for free, some of these leaders you're seeing in parliament, it was because Fida held their hand.
Oh, they talked, they were very good.
You know, just preparing them for the real thing.
Yeah.
Preparing them for the sense that politics, you have to be extremely, extremely relevant.
Correct.
And being a woman leader is not easy. And calling, what we did was we held a conference. We called members who have been there, for example, the Honorable Milly Mabona, to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
We called the Honorable, the Governor Anne Waiguru, to talk to them and mentor them. Because you see, the younger women leaders need mentorship.
They do.
They need to hear from the women who've been there.
Yes.
The journey, the challenges they've had, so that you don't just go there blinded. You go there knowing that once you're elected, if you don't take your position as a woman leader, then people will just say you're not relevant. You go there to fight for women, you know? So we had to really have those sessions with them, build their capacity. And to date, we do. Some of them, when there's a law that is being passed in parliament, they ask us, give us information about this bill. And we do that.
Sweet.
We prepare for them the information.
Yes.
Talking point, this is what you need to say in parliament. So we do a lot.
Ah,
we do a lot. It is amazing the kind of work that FIDA does.
Good.
So we have
very
a good,
good
we have a good rapport
yes.
with most of these women leaders. Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
I can see 22 minutes past 7 o'clock. We'll get the questions 0701-9494. Hashtag quick one Wakili, hashtag the legal insider. Another question, is FIDA just the preserve of women? What about the men? Where do the men fit into all this in relation to FIDA?
Okay.
Because I believe you can't be in isolation.
You can't.
Yes.
It's impossible. It's impossible.
You.
As we speak, we have our employees. I know we have 70% are female.
Correct.
30% are male.
Well done.
As we speak today, we have our finance manager is a male, our procurement guy, our corporate guy.
Mm-hmm.
So apart from just hiring male employees, many people think when you go to FIDA offices, everyone is a lady.
thought so too. I've always thought FIDA, you walk in, it's just women, rough, tough.
Yeah.
And how can we help you? Divorced. You know, everything has to do with the woman.
Yeah.
I could be right, Charles, but no, it has to be with the woman.
That's a myth. As you say, Charles, you cannot work in isolation at just one gender. So we have them as our staff.
That's
but more importantly, Charles, we work with male lawyers who are we calling pro bono, members of Law Society of Kenya.
Yes.
See, FIDA does a lot, and we realize we cannot do everything as a staff.
Mm-hmm.
So we work with a population from the Law Society of Kenya that we are calling pro bono lawyers. Some of your guests you've been inviting here are some of our pro bono lawyers.
I know.
They are vying for the Nairobi Law Society of
Kenya. They were here last Thursday.
Akina Eric and so.
Those
are our pro bono lawyers and they help us. So you can call them and say, there's this case that is happening in this court. Can you handle this matter for us? Then we pay them something very small, you know, because we are an NGO that is profit making. So we work
paid.
With them.
Yeah,
the other people we work with, many people don't know, is a section of... the mediators, some of them are also male. So there are people who come to do this mediation I was talking about. It's not all of them are not women. Some of them are also male and don't have to be lawyers. Some of them are priests. Yeah, we have priests who come and do mediation in FIDA because they understand that the kind of role they play in society a couple in problems will help them. So we have that kind of engagement. We have people who walk into FIDA and they ask us, can we partner with you? I am this profession, but I feel I can partner with you. And they're not necessarily female. So we do work with a lot of male people who have realized FIDA is for the best of the society, not just a particular agenda.
I like that.
Then we have
best of the society. So if you have an organization that's actually looking forward to bettering the society, just walk into FIDA offices, present your case, present your papers, and say you'd like to partner.
Exactly.
And the conversation can begin from there.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Then finally, we have a category that we are calling Friends of FIDA.
Okay.
You'd be amazed at who are the Friends of FIDA.
You can throw some names.
We have the likes of Senior Counsel Tom Ojienda, Senior Counsel James Orengo, Professor P.L.O. Lumumba. Those are people who have worked with FIDA, and they believe in us. And whenever we have something that perhaps we want them to be involved, they donate money for FIDA's cause. Wow. So you see, it is not the feminist thing that people think that we can't work with a male person. Mm. That's a myth. At the end of the day, we do have men involved in our conversations. We do have people who have stood with us who are really senior advocates who understand where FIDA started and where we are going.
So, Christian, you're my friend. I mean, you're the chairperson of FIDA.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine calls me and says, hey, bro, Mazi, can you help me find a lawyer? I'm going through a certain situation and I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
As Charles, I can call you and you can get me a male lawyer.
Of course.
Thank you very much. Now, if you're listening, you heard what she said. She said, of course.
Yes.
So it's not a preserve of women
alone. No, not at all.
Yes.
The thing is, we fight for women's rights.
Yes.
But that doesn't isolate us from other issues that are happening legally.
Correct.
Or that we close our doors to men. We can't do that. I think that is really absurd.
That's been a myth from so many people.
Yeah.
Oh, let's give the story of FIDA. Hey, those women are tough, man. Mazi, if you hear, as you say, ukisikia mazi nilienda FIDA, mazi mimi nilienda OCHA.
The people even believe we have cells in FIDA. Yes. Ukiingia huko hautatoka. So hizo tu
ni propaganda.
It's only propaganda.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just an office like any other.
Correct.
But we know what we do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's talk, because I can see time is flying very fast. Yeah. Let's talk about this two-thirds agenda that has been a pain in the neck for such a long time.
Yeah.
And there was actually a time when some politicians were saying, no, women have got to fight for their seats. They have to go out there and fight for that seat and all that, so we can attain the two-thirds agenda. Mm. And I was like, really? We need somebody who can actually explain this to us properly. Can you explain to us about FIDA and the two-thirds agenda?
Well, I must say, two-thirds agenda has been one of those things you're like, wow, will this thing ever be actualized? We've had three heads of states.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the late Mwai
Kibaki,
Uhuru Kenyatta, and now President Ruto have all been presidents when we're talking about this two-thirds thing. But let me just say, it's the two-thirds thing is one of those things that the Constitution brought out in terms of leadership, so women can have opportunities in leadership, because it was indeed true that it was hard to be elected as a woman.
Yes.
And that is something we cannot hide away from. Even to date, people will tell you, we will never have a woman president. And why should someone say that? We should be alive to the fact that right now, any gender can actually be part of the president. So the conversation started in terms of how do we allow women to be part and parcel of leadership? And that is where the two-thirds rule started. The thing is, FIDA, we've walked a long journey. You know, we were among the first people who went to court after the constitution.
2010.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whereby we had the former AG, Githu Muigai, who went
Brilliant
to the Supreme
guy.
Court to ask the court, how do we make these two-thirds a reality in something that we called advisory opinion? And that was among the very first cases that court handled. I think it was very close after to the new constitution. That time we had the Chief Justice, what was his name? The gentleman with the nice earring. I forget his name.
Oh, he was here also. A couple of interviews.
Mutunga.
Yeah. Yes.
So Mutunga and his team, unfortunately, did not give us a proper way, because they said two-thirds cannot be implemented immediately. It ought to be implemented progressively. And I must say, it's only Mutunga who had a different view in that judgment, that it can be implemented immediately. The rest, who are the majority, said progressively. So with that in mind, the word progressively means we take time to implement it. And I think for me that was the problem with that advisory opinion. Progressively is one of those ambiguous words.
Yeah.
So that governments after government have taken advantage of progressively meaning
we continue on and continue.
And then I have to be open and say, I don't think we've had a political will to deal with this issue. People talk about it in terms of campaigning.
Yes, yes.
But in reality, when they get power, they just do their own things. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. And then also many elected members of parliament are scared of making this a reality. They feel they're going to lose their seats. So the thing. So if there's a law that is being passed in terms of two-thirds, majority of them normally object. That's it. That's the idea of where we are at. People are not comfortable with women occupying seats. So it's a fight that we are fighting. I don't think it's going to end this year.
It's not going to end next year. Probably not in our time.
Yeah, but I'm hoping.
It will come to pass.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Wow, the time has actually run before the producer comes in.
Yes.
A very sensitive issue.
Yeah.
You touched it a wee bit, but what is FIDA doing about this femicide issue in Kenya? Because I know these things are happening, but they're not being reported.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As I said, in January, we had to initiate our plan because we realized the numbers of femicide were increasing. So we were the first ones to, number one, just talk about it. We had a press conference that was well highlighted in all the media houses. Perhaps Capital FM was the only one that did. We had a major press conference to talk about the fact that women are really dying and it's time the government was held accountable.
Okay.
After that is when we saw people taking it up, including people in government talking about it, including MPs. So we set the agenda at the beginning of the year in terms of femicide. Apart from that, we have gotten in touch with some family of the victims. Yeah?
Yeah.
You know, these families need psychosocial help.
Absolutely.
You know, where they need counseling. So some of them, I cannot disclose who.
No, we can't.
We have been able to meet them and offer them counseling so that they're able to, you know, just get out of this
closure.
So we've offered psychosocial, which is counseling. We are now thinking of going to court in terms of the cases that are being delayed because we don't understand where the delay is coming from.
Yeah.
We feel we need to put pressure to the government.
Yeah.
Not even one single case has been concluded with all these women who've died.
Mm.
So the more pressure we put, the better. So that is our plan. But I must say, they're sensitive matters because, you know, you're dealing with families who sometimes don't want it to go further.
Mm.
They just want to have a closure.
Finish.
So you have to be very strategic on how you deal with them. Because you also cannot impose yourself on them. So I must tell you, it's a delicate balance, encouraging them that for you to get justice for your daughter, allow us to come in. And at the same time, explain to them that ours is to get justice. We don't seek anything from you. So those are the issues we deal with. But we're hoping that the more pressure we put, at least if we have one case being concluded, then it will be an example for the rest. I think that's what I can say.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey. Christine Kungu. Amazing, amazing, amazing. I've learned so much. I mean, this thing is like an onion. I'm not getting to the bottom of it. Wow.
We needed 3 hours.
We needed another 3 hours. But you know what?
Yeah.
You will have to come back again.
Yes.
You have to come back to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, let's talk about more because there's so many questions
we've
actually not gone through. But the next show has to start in a while because I know the producer is waiting.
Uh-huh.
But there are people right now.
Yeah.
Who are seated at home, probably in their offices. As I told you, a lot of people listen to this show.
Yeah.
And they want to get in touch with FIDA.
Mm-hmm.
They want to get in touch with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like, oh, so if I go there, you talked about something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The pro bono lawyers were here last Thursday, the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the fee, what you talked about, you said about 500 bob to open a case.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Because people think if I get there, Christina Tanembe, 25,000, I don't have that money. But how can they get in touch with FIDA? Right now, today, the day after.
If you just visit our website, all our contacts are there.
Mm-hmm.
We have the cell phone numbers there. We have an email. We are on Twitter. We are on Facebook. So all those are ways which you can get to us. So it's just a matter of reaching out. Either you call, send an email, send a message on Facebook. We will respond to you as soon as we can. And if you feel you want to come, our offices are at Gitanga Road.
Please tell us your offices.
Gitanga Road.
Yes.
Just next to Kawangware.
Mm-hmm.
We are open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily.
Okay.
Monday to Friday. Mm-hmm. Please feel free to come.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about anything. Provided you want to be helped, we will then help you. And if you're not able to help you, we'll definitely forward your name to someone who can help you.
Yeah.
our pro bono lawyers. So unfortunately, we only have three branches: Nairobi, Kisumu, and Mombasa. Mm-hmm. We are really government. We are not government funded. We are donor funded. So with time, we can open offices in other branches. But for now, we are in Kisumu and we're in Mombasa. If you go to our website, you'll see where our offices are. So those are the three areas we operate. But our main office is here in Nairobi.
Wow.
Yes.
Christine, thank you so much. Coming to Capital FM with Legal Insider.
Yeah.
Hey! I wish I could continue another 10 minutes. It's so interesting.
Same here.
Yeah. But you know what? This will happen again, I promise you. And this time we'll come with maybe one of the pro bono lawyers.
Yeah.
And we can get into the practical analogies.
Ah, that would be good.
As in, we break it down. This person went through this, the divorcee went through this, blah, blah, blah. We just break it down because life, it's like a lot of people just go through the same thing, but they don't know at what point just to break off or just to. Yeah.
That's very true.
That's very true. So thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. And the Lord bless you now and into your future.
Yes.
I will come to the office. I'll bring the boys and make
Karibu
some noise
sana.
There. We will.
Karibu.
We will.
And virtually, you're now our friend of FIDA.
Yes.
As at now, the chair has declared you are a friend of FIDA.
Thank you very much. We accept. Yeah. We accept. Yeah. All right. This conversation continues every Thursday, 6:30 to 7:30. It's a Legal Insider. We had a wonderful guest, Christine Kongo, the chairperson of FIDA, Federation. I'll go and cram that on later on my own later. Thank you for tuning in. Wanjira Long Hour coming in on the Big Bounce. I'll be back next tomorrow with the boys, 3 to 7 o'clock. Of course, DJ Leo on the ones and twos. Christine, again, thank you so much. The conversation, 0701 984 984. Hashtag quick one, Wakili, hashtag The Legal Insider.